Welcome to the Closing Culture Podcast. I am your host, Sean Slaughter, real estate agent and investor. This real estate podcast goes on top of the roof, behind the wall, and under the flow to show you how real estate really works. What's good? Welcome to Closing Culture. My name is Sean Slaughter. I am your host, real estate agent and investor. And on this podcast, we talk about real estate and life because real estate is life. Today, what I want to talk about is how to save up for a home down payment. I want to go through five steps that I think will be very helpful to you guys in saving up for a home down payment. And the thing that I want you to realize is that this takes time. So you may not be able to do this in 6 months. I would say give yourself about a year to do this. Unless you make some really, really good money, then maybe 6 to 8 months will help. But let's go ahead and get into it. Before we officially get started, I want to talk about how much money you may need. Now, these are estimates, but there are three big pieces of money that you'll need to save up for. The first piece of money you need to save up for is what I call the initial inspections and appraisal, all right? This typically happens within the first 2 weeks when you get that contract ratified. And those amounts are this. Typically a $500 earnest money deposit, or EMD. This is money you just put towards the house. It's your kind of your promise to say, hey, I'm going to go through with the contract. And if I, you know, don't go through with the contract and I pull out, outside of my contingency areas, I can lose that money. So I'm not going to get into that. I'll do another video on that. But $500 EMD, $500 for your home inspection. This is typically for your home inspection and your termite moisture inspection. Again, these are averages that I've seen in the Hampton Roads, Virginia area, but that's pretty much it. $500 for your home inspection, $500 for your EMD. And the last thing, $700 for your appraisal. Again, just an estimate. Altogether, that's about $1,700. So what I typically tell buyers is have $2,000 in your checking account that you're going to spend right away within the first 2 weeks. Now, the second pot of money that you're going to need is for your loan down payment. Now, there are different types of loans, FHA, VA, conventional. Not going to get into that on this video, but we're going to use 3.5% as your average down payment. And we're going to use $300,000 on the house that you're going to buy, okay? So 3.5% for a $300,000 house is a $10,500 loan down payment, okay? So take your loan down payment of $10,500, take the $2,000 up front that you need, you combine it together, we're now at $12,500, all right? Let's now talk about the other third big pot of money, your closing costs. Now, your closing costs are typically about 3% of the purchase price. These are all the costs with your title company and lawyers and paperwork and all the different hands that are making this loan and this home purchase go through. This is the money that it takes to pay for them, all right? So we're going to use an average of about 3%. All right, it could be 4%, it could be 5%, but we're going to use the average here in the Hampton Road, which is about 3.5%. So 3% closing costs on a $300,000 house is $9,000. Now, if you combine that with our $2,000 upfront money and our 3.5% loan down payment, then altogether, that's about $21,500. One last thing I need to add, and this is new because of this lawsuit type thing. We don't know how it's going to pan out, but I'm going to give my opinion. Buyers are now going to be required to pay their agents. Before it was the seller that would pay the listing agent, and then the listing agent would split that commission, you know, 5-6% or whatever they negotiated with the buyer's agent. The lawsuit has eliminated that. And so now instead of the seller paying the listing agent to split that commission with the buyer's agent, now buyers have to pay their own agent. That could be 3%. 3% of $300,000 is $9,000. When added to that $21,500 is, $30,500. It could be $5,000. It could be whatever you negotiate. This is very new, so we don't know. There still are some ways that the buyer could ask the seller to pay for some of their commission. But nevertheless, if we just took the 3% and took the $9,000, now we're up to about $30,000. So now you're saying, Sean, you're trying to tell me to buy a $300,000 house. It's going to cost me $30,000, about 10% of the house I have to come up with. Not necessarily. Okay. Not necessarily. What I didn't mention was first time home buyers programs, which takes that loan down payment, right? Remember the second thing that we talked about, that was $10,500, 3.5%. Well, it takes that loan down payment and it wraps it up into the loan. So you'll pay for it, but there won't be no upfront money. You'll just pay for it within the loan. So that's within first time home buyer programs. Veterans don't pay the loan down payment. Again, that's wrapped up in there. So there are a lot of programs within your city that will give loan down payment assistance, where they'll cover some or all of that loan down payment. Just, you know, ask your lender and your real estate agent. And your closing costs. Many times within that purchase agreement, you can ask the seller to give you CCA, closing cost assistance, and help you pay for some of those closing costs. Additionally, there are other grants and programs out there that will give you money to pay for some or all of your closing costs, okay? So generally what I'm seeing is unless, you know, they get a conventional loan or they just want to put some extra money, do I see a lot of $30,000, $40,000 checks for houses? Not necessarily. On average, I'm seeing between $10,000 and $20,000. All right, that's on average what I'm seeing right now. So don't get scared about a $30,000, about a $30K, because it may not be that. But, you know, talk to a lender, talk to a real estate agent, but you are going to have to save up some money. All right, number one, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to open up an online savings account. This savings account is not going to have a checkbook or a debit card. The only way you can put money in and out of this online savings account is by transferring money from your existing checking account. The reason I like online savings accounts versus opening another, like I bank with Langley, right? I have savings accounts, but it's just too easy to access that money. I want to make it difficult and I want a high yield savings account. It's going to give me some interest, you know, 4.5%, 5%. The account that I use is Marcus by Goldman Sachs. Apple also has a high yield savings account that is backed by Marcus by Goldman Sachs. All right. You can transfer your money in there. Usually it's in there within a day or two. So it's really, really quick. I remember back in the day when I had an online savings account, I would transfer money. It would take 4 or 5 days, which still is not bad because again, we don't want to touch this money. We want this money to go and we don't want to see it. All right. This is our saving money. What we're trying to do is we're trying to put up different walls and different systems and strategies to keep ourselves from getting that money, to keep ourselves from seeing that money. That's another reason I like online savings accounts separate from my, you know, physical bank, is because when I log into my physical bank, I can see all my accounts and the money in there. In an online savings account, it's out of sight, out of mind. So that's the first thing that I would do. Next thing you want to do is that you want to create a budget. Now, based on how you get paid, monthly, weekly, bi-weekly, you want to kind of split your budget according to how you get paid. For instance, I get paid bi-weekly, or I say I pay myself bi-weekly as a real estate agent. So even when I make a big lump sum on a transaction, I break that up and I pay myself bi-weekly. So I use Google Sheets and I have two tabs. I have the first half of the month, week one and week two, and I have the second half of the month, week three and week four. Some months will have a fifth week, just figure that out, all right? But week one and week two, week three and week four. Each one has the income that I'm gonna make for those 2 weeks, and then it has all of my expenses, cable, telephone, gas, you know, whatever it is, right? One of the things that I want you to make it as an expense, an automated deductible expense that goes into your online savings account, is savings. Just call it savings. List it as an expense, all right? And whether that's 50, whether that's 75, whether that's $100, I want that to be automatically drawn. So if your check deposits on the 1st, have it automatically drawn on the 2nd. Your check deposits on the 14th, have it automatically taken out on the 15th, just so that you don't get hit with a fee or something like that. So that's the first thing. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to pay yourself a fixed amount. All right. So I'm going to use this 2-week example. So let's just say, for very simple reasons, I get $1,000 in income every 2 weeks. And let's say my bills are $500. Okay. So I'm going to add a bill, cost savings for $100. Right. So now my bills are $600. I'm going to add another bill called self-pay or pay me. All right. And let's just say that's $200. All right. So now your expenses are $800. $100 going out for the savings, $200 paying me. You still have some money left over. I will put that in your regular savings account. This is your buy a home savings account in your online. That other leftover money, just put that in a regular savings account, okay? Or if you want to get savvy, 401k, IRA, something like that. That money that I'm going to pay myself, that $200 is another expense. And I'm going to move that money into a Cash App card. My bank has what's called a spend account, which actually has spending limits and things like that. I really like it. Has a debit card attached, so I can put that money there. You can take it out in cash. Here's the whole idea. If I take out that $200 for those 2 weeks, that's all the money I have for 2 weeks to just spend on myself and have fun. All right. Remember, everything else is already outlined in your expense account as far as your bills, okay, and your savings. This is me money. This is stuff that I want to, you know, do whatever with, eat out, spend on Amazon. But all you have is $200 for those 2 weeks, or whatever money that you've decided that you're going to need for those 2 weeks, right? Maybe more if you have a family, smaller kids. But this is me money, okay? Once that money runs out, that's it. You got to wait for the next 2 weeks. What this does is it helps you develop discipline in your spending habits. It also shows you what you're spending your money on, because a lot of you have extra money that should be going to savings or should be going to your buy a home savings account. And because it's extra money, you just spend it. If you don't tell your money where to go, your money will magically disappear through Amazon.com. Your money will magically disappear through restaurants. Your money will magically disappear through buying alcohol, going to the bar. You have to tell your money where to go. Then you'll know how much money you have to do those things, okay? You should have a budget for that, not just whatever extra money I have. Trust me, if you do these first two things, you're going to be stacking away more money than you ever imagined. Number 3, reduce your weekly spending. And the 2 main things that we spend money on, eating out and alcohol. Also, extracurricular activities. If you don't drink alcohol, you might do extra things, go bowling, so on and so forth. You want to reduce these things, okay? One of the ways to reduce these things is don't drink or eat out during a weekday. That's Monday through Friday. It's a really good habit, something that we've tried to practice. And it's a really, really good habit to do. If you're going to eat out on Saturday or Sunday. And even then, you want to limit that, remember, because you are going to really discipline yourself and, you know, feel some pain now for pleasure later, which is buying a home, all right? But reduce your eating out, reduce your drinking, reduce your bowling or whatever, Dave and Buster's, whatever you do on the weekends. You want to reduce this. Eating out is a really, really big one. This is going to require you to grocery shop, meal prep, possibly depending on your job. You know, just form some new disciplines so that you can save that money that you typically would spend just getting lunch. Getting lunch at work, another big money waster, all right? Bring lunch to work. Make enough food for dinner so that you have those leftovers. I used to do this when I used to teach in school. I would make enough dinner, and then those would be my leftovers for school. And I'm telling you, you're going to save so much money, and that buy a home savings account is going to grow. Number four, put extra money in your savings account right away, all right? So you got your income, you got your bills listed on your budget, you got your savings listed as an expense, you have your pay me that you pay yourself every 2 weeks or whatever it is based on how you get paid income-wise, you're going to have leftover money. That leftover money should be going to another savings account, right? An emergency account, just in case you get sick or something happens, tire blows out in your car, engine, whatever. I bought my daughter last year a Kia, a 2023 Kia. And the beginning of this year, I've had a squirrel chew through a wire in the engine. The first time it cost me $4,500. This is a brand new car. A car has 6,000 miles in it. I don't know what's going to cost me the second time because I'm putting it in the shop today. All right. You just never know when an emergency is going to happen. So that extra money, put in an emergency fund, or use some of the extra money, a piece of the extra money to put towards your buy a house fund. All right. So that you can save money faster. The whole idea is that extra money is not going to go towards Amazon. That extra money is not going to go towards eating out. That extra money is not going to go towards the bar. Or, you know, some extracurricular activity, going to the movies. That extra money is going to go towards savings, whether it's for buying a house, emergency fund, or both, all right? But tell your money where to go. If not, it will magically decide itself where it's going to go. And then number five, the last thing that you want to do is check in every quarter to see how your budget is doing. Sit down with your partner. Look over your bills, look over your expenses, look over your budget. You know, if your heating is $94 a month, and then February goes up to $150, and then March, you know, it's, I don't know, $130, you know, you can average it out, you can talk about it. You can actually see what's going on in your house, right? Your grocery bill, you have a budget for that. Man, it really went up, you know, in July. You can talk about those things. What can we do next month to make sure it doesn't go up like that? What are some things that we have to sacrifice so that we can keep our bills as consistent and as reasonably low as possible, right? If you're living in a cold place, you don't want to, you know, keep your heat on 60. You want to keep it comfortable, but maybe don't put it on 75. You put it on 71 or 70, right? And just wear some hoodies and sweats around the house. I'm talking about, again, there's the saying that says, don't get weary in well-doing. And what this means is that many times when we're doing good things, they can be tiring because we don't see the immediate result. And what I'm telling you is that don't get weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in doing well, because the good result is not going to be immediate. It's going to be down the road when you buy that house. And then it's going to be long-term because you'll have that house. All right. So we're aiming for the future. We're aiming for good and positive in the future. And the things that are going to make us feel good about putting this money aside for buying a house is seeing that account accumulate. Okay. I don't want you checking into that account, though, often. I want you moving money there and not looking at it. Moving money there and not looking at it. But I want you to, when you do look at it, feel good, right? Man, we're going to have this much money by the time December comes. Man, we're going to have this much money by the time March comes, because we're consistently putting away. And then after a while, any extra money you have, you can't wait to put it over there because you want to see that growth. You want to celebrate that growth. I hope this helps you save money for your house. Be sure to follow me on socials at Sean Slaughter Homes. Comment, like videos, ask me a question. I'm always open to any questions that you have about home buying, home selling, investing, or just life. All right. My name is Sean Slaughter. Thanks for watching Closing Culture. Be good to yourself and also to someone else.